Judges 6:22. Would you stand this morning with me? We're going to read 22 to 24, pray, and then read 25 and 26. We are going through these seven names of God in the Old Testament. Today we're talking about Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. Peace. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." "It is all right," the Lord replied. "Do not be afraid. You will not die." And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Jehovah Shalom, which means "the Lord is peace." The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask you that you give me wisdom to speak your word today. Lord, you know the situation and the heart and the tricks of life and the enemy in our flesh in every individual, including myself in this room this morning. God, and I ask you that your spirit would speak to us things that I don't say, God, but your spirit will awaken us in an area of our lives that we need to be awakened. God, help us to understand your word so we can come and walk closer to you. Lord, please help us to understand your word. Holy Spirit, divide in our minds those thoughts that are not from you from the things that are from you, and help us to understand the difference. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Verse 25, that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it, two gods next to each other. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down." You may be seated. This is a crazy, crazy story. Here are the Israelites, the people of God, the church, if you want to say, back in the Old Testament. They have lived as slaves for 400 years in Egypt. God gets them out of there, puts them in the promised land. And years later, here they are, worshiping Baal and Asherah, which are two pagan gods of another nation next to them. Is it possible that Satan himself is trying to do the same thing with the church today? Is it possible that if it worked thousands of years ago, after they got out of Egypt, which is a life of sin, we come to Jesus, we go through baptism, we go through the Jordan, the representation, we go into the promised land, is it possible that the devil was able to defeat this, the people of God, and he's trying to defeat us today to worship still the gods of this world? Is it possible? That's why God comes and reveals himself as the God of peace. Here behind the church used to live a man, homeless, became a good friend of mine, had no work, had no money, had nothing. He would plug in the middle of the night, his little coffee machine back there to make ramen noodles, come in the morning, eat the donuts left over from Sunday, and coffee, and we'll go and do food ministry, and we'll get him food and all this stuff. And he was a life of alcohol and a life of living in the streets. We became good friends. We used to hang out a lot. One day I asked him, let's call him Juan, like Pastor Luis last Sunday. Some of you might know him. I asked him one day, "What is the biggest desire that you have right now in your life?" And he told me, honestly, the biggest desire in my life right now, he had nothing, remember what I said, is to have peace in my mind, he said. is to be able to have peace inside of me. I never forget that moment, because that told me that is most likely the biggest desperation of every person in this planet Earth. Yes. To have peace. And so what happens? How do we live? The first point of my sermon. How do we live when God is not peace in our lives? How do we live? Let's start with the story that we just grabbed a few scriptures there on 22, 26. Let's start in this story. Here's the Israelites. They did not have peace. They were way more desperate than just lack of peace, but they were in a terrible place. Judges 6, verse 1 to 5. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. I want to say because the Lord loved them and wanted them to be blessed, but it doesn't say like that. It says, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel, that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, in the caves, in strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, mortars, people who stole from Midian, Amalek and the people of the east will attack Israel. They will come camping in the land and destroying crops as far as away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with, can you say with me, nothing to eat. Taking all the sheep, all the goats, all the cattle, and all the donkeys. These enemy hoarders coming with the livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived and drove off camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. Because the Israelites, knowing about God, having been rescued from God, knowing who God was and being so tremendously rescued and blessed and delivered and put in this land where the honey and milk flow, the church today, I'll say that, the church today, they started to worship the false gods that the world was worshiping. I am preaching to you because I am a human and I know what I'm talking about, because the devil every single day tries somehow to bring a little God into my own life. Sometimes it's a God of the past, sometimes it's a new God, but he will try to put something else in my life which is not God number one. The first temptation that Satan tells Jesus in the desert is not go and sleep and with some prostitute, go and steal money. He says, just do what I tell you. Turn the rocks into bread. And the moment we start doing what he says, even if it's not a sin, it will become a sin, because God is not the Lord of our lives anymore, but now something else became the Lord of our lives. Are you following me here? And so, how do we live when God is not number one? They were reduced to starvation by the Midianites who worship other gods. The Israelites were reduced to starvation. They are worshiping Baal and Asherah. That can be the love of money. It can be your family. It can be entertainment. It can be the grease. It can be our business. It can be ministry. It can be people talking good about you. It can be addiction. It can be popularity. It can be your physical appearance. It can be hate. It can be anger. It can be pride. It can be arrogance. It can be whatever you want to put it there that is ungodly. Anything that is ungodly, the enemy will try to make it your God. Anything that is ungodly, even ministry can become your God. Even your spouse can become your God. Even making money can become your God. Even your kids can become your God. Entertainment, I can go on and on and on and on. What does this world worship? Think for a moment. What does this world worship? And this guy had two gods next to each other. And so that's what happens. Do you want to know if there is another God in your life, the God? How much of God's peace and presence do you enjoy in your life? That's the big question. That's why he comes and reveals himself as the God of peace. Because, listen, my friends, when Gideon sees the angel of the Lord really is Jesus, I don't have time to get into that, but the whole conversation, if you read the whole chapter, you can see he's talking, and then God talks to him, and then he talks back to God, and then the angel of the Lord, it's really Jesus, it's really God. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is Jesus. And God is talking to him. And here he comes. He comes to speak to Gideon and says, Gideon, here is the problem. You're worshiping, your people is worshiping something that is not me. You're worshiping something that is not me. And when you worship something that is not God, we become slaves of those idols. We hide to eat what feeds our flesh, and the devil steals our work. And you can be fat of the things of this world, but empty, dying, and desperate inside of yourself. Desperate of the presence and the peace of God. If the gods of this world will do the trick, why are you still struggling so much? If the gods of this world, if drugs, if alcohol, if hate, if immorality, homosexuality, I don't know, whatever you want to put there, lust, arrogance, pride, lack of forgiveness, if the gods of this world are so powerful, why is people still starving inside? Why people who have all the fame and all the money in the world can eat whatever they want, travel whatever they want, sleep with whoever they want, do all the drugs, have all the popularity. Why so many of them are still living in alcohol, in drugs, going from one ratio to the other? Some of them even kill themselves because the gods of this world will leave you empty day after day after day after day after day after day. And you can live 1,000 years here and you will still be empty. And so that's how they were. They were living miserably. The interesting thing, they are still worshiping Baal and Asherah. Now I want to say, really? And it makes us all feel like, can they be so dumb? Can they be so stupid? Yes. Because the gods of this world have a tremendous power to make people blind and keep worshiping them for crumbs, for crumbs, for crumbs. But in the end, those crumbs completely destroy the person's life. Listen to what I'm saying. The gods of this world, if the gods of this world wouldn't have the power to deceive you, to deceive me, this world would all be surrendered to Jesus. But because of the power of the gods of this world. And these people who knew about God are worshiping these other gods for 7 years. For 7 years. For 7 years. It breaks my heart as a pastor to see this happening in so many people's lives. I'm just going to be very honest. I talk to people. I see people's lives. I hear the stories. They come and they talk to me. And it's so interesting to see how somebody who calls themselves a Christian can worship the God of this world for years and years and years and years and years. Have you ever seen that in somebody who calls themselves a Christian? So what turns the situation? Verse 6. What turns the situation is God in his love allowing the Midianites to torture them. Verse 6. So Israel was reduced to what? To what? Starvation. By the Midianites. I love that word. Can you read it with me? So Israel was reduced to what? Starvation by the Midianites. Starvation. How prideful can a person be? How stubborn can a group of people be? How stupid can somebody be that until they are now almost dying of hunger? Then seems like the lights go on. They were reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites did what? Cried out to the Lord for help. The moment they cried out, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptian and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me. If I be God, I'm telling you, I'm so far from God. Really, I would say, I drove you out of Egypt. Brought you through the desert. You were terrible in the desert. I still bless you. I still put you in the promised land and gave you this tremendous land. And all I ask you is do not let Satan bring into the land another God than me. Do not let Satan bring into your life another God than me. Do not worship anything else than God, me. I am your God. I would be just so mad. But God is not like that. He keeps saying, I am your Lord. I am your God. Even when you rejected me, even when you brought these horrible gods into the land and built all these altars, I still love you. Psalm 51:17, David in his desperation, his repentance of his sin, he had committed adultery, killed his husband of Bathsheba. And he repents in Psalm 51, and he says 17, I love this scripture. I hope you can fall in love with this scripture. He says, Psalm 51:17, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. Oh, God. Oh, that helps me because I am not better than you. I'm not better than you. I can promise you I struggle with those gods trying to build in my own life, whatever they are. We all have those. But I know that no matter what, he will never reject a broken and repented heart. Never, ever, 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 ever. No matter what you did, no matter if you were a pastor kid and you did the most horrendous things and tried to, you let the devil use your life to try to destroy your father's ministry, and if you were everything that I can tell you and even more that I cannot, I would never tell you that I did in my life, even like whatever you did, the God says, you will not, I will not reject a broken and repented heart. When the Israelites cried out to God, he shows up right there and there and there and there. I will never, never reject you. And I know that we all have a desperate need of the peace that only God can give us. If we cried out to him, he will come to us. He will come to us. Verse 15. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? God is saying, I want you to be the man. He calls him my tremendous warrior. How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. I love God because he loves to pick those who don't think high about themselves. Amen. I love it. And when we prideful people want to be used by God, and he knows the heart, he has to humble us to the floor so he can use us. Amen. But remember, God can humble you, but you can still not humble yourself. And the Lord will try and give you opportunities. Here is Gideon. How can I be used by you? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. I am the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you. Your dad is not going to be there because you have to go, and your family, your mom, you do this. And God says, let me tell you, when you get close to God, to a place that you can really in your spirit hear him saying to you, I am with you. Nothing. There is no fear that Satan can put in your heart when you really know that you know that you know that God is with you. Amen. It's hard to have that conviction when we are messing around with the things of this world. I must say that. It's hard. Very hard. I will be with you, Gideon, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. I'll go back to this part here. Where are we? I will come back. He answered, I will stay here until you return. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat, and with a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carried the meat in a basket and brought the bread in a pot. He brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the blood over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of the staff in his hand. And fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When I read this, I understand he's trying to bring an offering. He goes and kills the goat and makes a soup and gets the soap out of the broth and brings the bread. In all this desperation, he's trying to do something. And he puts in front of the angel, and the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, he touches it, and the whole thing is consumed. And I've started thinking, why? And this is what I believe. God does not care for your human efforts. He is seeking a person with the right heart. Amen. He burns the whole thing. They were desperate for food. He does this for him. And God says, everything that is important for you is not important for me. If you put me first in your life, I will supply a lot more of this that I know you need in your life. And he tells him, I want you to go and destroy. There were many in that day, poles of Asherah and Baals in the nation. Because if you read in the Old Testament, some kings destroy some. And they don't destroy all of them. It was just not one in the nation. And this one that God tells Gideon to destroy, and it's his father's property. What is in your family now that the Lord might call you, which has become a God in an altar, bigger than God, and is bringing starvation into your family, into your marriage, into your life, and you need to go and destroy. Only God Almighty can reveal that to you right now. And God says to Gideon, go and do it. And he does. In the night, because he's afraid. He's afraid. Verse 28. We go into the third point. What will happen when you hear and obey God? Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, they started to wake up. Someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that the Asherah pole beside it had been cut down. Who did this? Gideon. In their place, a new altar had been built. And on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. The people said to each other, who did this? And after asking around and making a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Bring out your son, the man of the town demanded of Joash. He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole. Really? The people of God is trying to kill the man who is bringing God back to the nation? They are living in starvation. Listen, my friends, listen. But they are so blind. They are so desperate. They think because this God, they think these gods are blessing other nations. And the devil has some power, yes, to provide for those who worship him to destroy their lives even more. These gods of the Amorites, I used to serve Satan. He always gave me enough money to sin like hell. I worked years and years. I remember buying one pair of pants, one pair of shoes, and one little coat. There wasn't even a leather coat. It was this thing of winter, you know, with buttons like this, a sweater. But I was walking with Satan. I never lacked money to get as drunk as I wanted. Never. Never lacked money to go and indulge in the things that destroy my life. And Satan has the power to deceive people that he wants Christians to see what he's doing for his servants out there. So God's servants start worshiping the gods of the Amorites in the world. Are you following me? It's a horrible thing. And he goes and cuts the pole, burns. He does this. Bring out your son, the man then. 31. But Joash, his father, shouted to the mob that confronted him, "Why are you defending Baal? Really? The people who was chosen by God to live in this land, who was blessed by God, who was supposed to worship God, who was supposed to walk in obedience, who were supposed to not have other gods in their lives. And I am brave enough to say more than one person this morning while I am preaching and talking about some stuff, the devil came and he told you, but this thing in your life is not as bad. Be careful with this preacher. He's kind of crazy, you know. Be careful with this part of your life. Careful with this. And here his father says, why are you defending this God of the Amorites? Why? Have you got so crazy with him also? Do you really think he's so powerful? You really think he's so amazing? Why are you defending? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is God, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar. If the love of money, hate, addiction, sex, immorality, homosexuality, I can go on and on, the lack of forgiveness. If the gods of this world are so powerful, let them defend themselves. I am challenging you this morning, bring me one person that is worshiping a god of this world, and let's put that god of this world in front of my God, and let's see what happens. Whatever you are doing, whatever you're indulging, whatever the devil is trying to do through people close to you to hurt you, let's kill the man who is putting God first in his life. Let's destroy him. And then the Father says, if that God is so powerful, if the hate of this world, the people that hate you, the people that is so with the gods of this world, if the things of this world are so powerful, show me somebody who is tremendously blessed by the gods of this world. And they will have no case before Jesus. God says, destroy those altars, and on the top of it, you're going to build one altar, and that's all you need in your life, and I will become the God of peace for you. I will become God is peace. How many in this room desire peace in their lives? Let me see your hands. How many of you guys have discovered that not one God of this world will ever give you peace inside of you? Ever. Ever. You can try to bring peace at your home with whatever the gods of this world will offer. Listen to what I'm saying, my friends. I'm just so mad at Satan right now. You can try to bring peace into your relationships, into your heart, into the relationship with God. You can try to bring peace at your work. You can try to bring peace in your marriage with whatever the world will offer you. And you will fail time after time after time until you
don't build an altar of God over all those gods, and he becomes number one. He has the power to bring peace again into your home. Amen. Never money, never entertainment, never drugs, never whatever you want, a vacation, whatever you want to say. Never, ever, ever, ever. Verse 32. From then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means let Baal defend himself because he broke down Baal's altar. I pray and I hope that every Christian in this church, the world will call you that. Let the gods of this world defend themselves, because you have built only one altar in your life, and that is God's altar. You can have the entire family become homosexual, atheists, drug addicts, have love for money. You can let everybody in the world around you come and try to attack you and try to destroy you. If you keep walking with Jesus at the end of your life, I can promise you something. Over your grave, they're going to say, this person was a person full of peace because he had one God in his life. And all our gods never were able to defeat his God. Ever. Ever. But he has to become number one. He has to become number one. God wants to use you in a supernatural way. Let Baal defend himself. Let Baal defend himself. Does your spouse make your life hell? Let him defend himself. You don't have to try to do anything there. Let's see where that's going to go in this person's heart. Are you following me? What is the sin, the God of this world, that somebody in your life is trying to worship? Let that with time show who has power. Let Baal defend himself. But before you have victory over your enemies, you must destroy the idols that feed your pride. Listen to this. Before you work on fixing other things or relationships in your life, God must become first. One of the idols of this world is you in your power trying to fix things in your life. Don't worry about that. Put God first and give him a chance. See if he can fix something in your life. Let the world defend themselves. God wants to become your peace. Verse 28, in their place a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. We need to sacrifice the bull of disobedience and build over the altar of God. And you will come to know the Lord is peace. Would you close your eyes right there where you are this morning? Maybe you're struggling. When I understood this word, honestly, life became so much easier. In some areas that I was struggling against the gods of other people who the enemy was trying to use to hurt me. The attitudes, I can go on and on. When I understood this word, the Lord told me personally, and he said, I want you to tell the church, tell them, do not worry about the gods of the disobedience. They cannot hurt you. They have no power. They are fake. They cannot hurt you. The only false god that can hurt you is the one that you and I allow in our own hearts to become important. Are you following me? Do you have the worst spouse, the worst kids, the worst people around you? If you walk with God, their God can never, ever hurt you. God will use those things to help you to become more like Jesus, which is a great thing. But this morning, I want you right there where you are. If you feel that God is in this room speaking to you, would you be so desperate for God's peace? And would you say, God, if there is any gods, little g, God, in my life, will you reveal it to me? I can preach all day, but the Holy Spirit is the only one that in an instant can make a huge difference in your life. And this is that moment. Maybe you don't even have to ask God that, because you know. Because the Lord has been showing you a God of this world in your own life. Today you need to repent. Come humbled in before the Lord. It's the only way to get closer to God, with a broken and repentant heart. And say, Lord, I want to serve you wholeheartedly again. Lord, we ask you as we pray this morning that your Spirit will be sweetly drawing people to you, Jesus. Drawing people to you, the God of peace. Oh, this world promises so many lies. I am sick and tired of trying the gods of this world, God. And I hope, God, everybody in this room is sick and tired. Lord, will you just come and embrace those that come with a repentant heart, because you do not reject those. Lord, I ask you that you will open the eyes of the hearts of everybody in this room who are still blind of gods of this world in their own lives. Lord, I ask you that those who have been attacked and are afraid and are nervous and are acting ungodly against gods of this world who are controlling other people close to them, would you, Lord, just help them to have peace, understanding that those gods can never hurt them. Lord, I ask you today that you would please draw us closer to you. Lord, maybe somebody needs to go home and literally cut down the pole of Asherah, literally. Literally destroy the altar of Baal. Burn it to pieces. And say, God, I will never again, ever again build another altar in my life. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us to walk out of this room knowing that nothing of this world will give you peace. Only you, God. And Lord, there is nothing more beautiful than walk with you every day. With peace in our lives, peace in our hearts, peace in our minds. Lord, knowing that we are walking with you, no matter what the world worships, no matter what the world will say, no matter what the world will try to do, we can walk in this confidence of a lion, knowing that you are the only one powerful, almighty Lord and Savior. Amen and amen and amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.